May 10th, 2016. And this is Inside Out, the Naked Truth, coming to you from the Santa Cruz Mountains, live from Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional.
But the truth is always naked.
This is Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. And we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight, as we have for many, many nights, for some conversation about the human condition and what to make of it, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and a few surprises.
Our show is sponsored by Go Raw, healthy, delicious food, and Universe Spirit.
Universe Spirit awakens us to the impact of climate destabilization and how we can make a difference.
Job One for Humanity. Check out their website to find out about how you can get more involved in the climate change. Well, guess what? That's not the half of it. There is just so much more. But before we get too full of ourselves, that's not the half of it will be the featured phrase for tonight's conversation.
But for me, the featured phrase will be, and that's only the half of it.
So there you go. You get a choice. It's in stereo. I'll give you an example. Like what we think about reality. Boy, that is really not the half of it. Not even the 1 to the 1,384,738,757,039 of it. It's actually what it says there, right there. I just read that.
Wow.
You think I could know that? I used to know it when I was younger, but then I forgot it. Which leads me to the next half. And that is, there's the half-baked. There's the half-ass, as in asshole, spelled W-H-O-L-E. Half again. Half two, as in what you got to do. Well, that's not really, I kind of fudged on that one. But there's half as much. And last but not least, half time. Okay. There's also the haves and the have-nots. Lots of them. How do we resolve that disparity, Bernie? There are haves just lying around all over the place, yearning for their other half. Speaking of your other half, it always bugs me when people ask me, how's your other half? Are they talking about the part of me that isn't an idiot? Or are they talking about my spouse? Well, that's not the half of it. So let's see if maybe we can get into the other half.
I have played with it, and it takes us about a week to come up with a fun phrase that we want to use for this show. This morning, as I thought about it, it came up as, it's only the half of it. And Errol went, it's not the half of it. So we have two parts of the whole happening tonight. And my take on it, if it's only half of it, and it is the whole, what's the other half like? Or is it the same in different apparel? What is the whole that this is half of? Do we consider these questions as relevant? Or is that only the half of it?
Let me see. Well, what inspired me about this program was Rochelle's pointing to me.
The tape that you had on your face just fell off.
Oh, okay. I needed to know that. Why? She's pointing. I'm going, why is she pointing? The tape that's on my face. I always try and keep a little piece of duct tape on my face every day to remind me which half of the face is my left and which half is the right. So now that the duct tape is gone, I don't know which half is which, but I still know the top and the bottom. You see, it's not my left and right brains that are not together. It's my top and bottom brain that's out of whack.
They haven't talked much about top and bottom brains. And that's only the half of it.
Right. That's why right and left is only the half of it. But I did want to share this quote from Love Without End by Glenda Green. And Yeshua, normally thought of as Jesus, says this. All that is asked of you is that you fervently seek the restoration of wholeness whenever it has been lost.
Ah, so if you only lose half of it, you haven't gotten around to it yet.
No, you haven't gotten around to the other half.
And you have to lose the whole of it. I think we lose the whole of it when we get off center. When I'm centered, the two halves are equal. The two halves are functioning, so I am in a state of equilibrium. When that's unbalanced, it's an imbalance. That's when trouble happens in my brain.
Not only in your brain, I've seen it in your body when your equilibrium goes pewee.
Yeah.
It just kind of tilts. And Rochelle's been actually tilting to the right for quite a few months now.
I have not. It's not true. Don't tell people things like that.
Was it the left?
No, it's not so.
Oh, okay. So repairing the breach in the wall. Remember the little Dutch boy who stuck his pinky into that hole into the wall?
Was it a pinky?
I don't remember which finger they talked about. But that would be worthy of a PhD thesis. Which finger did the little Dutch boy put into the wall?
How you come up with these things?
Well, you have to have idiot rising. But when you put idiot with language and a quirky sense of humor,
you get Errol. And that's not the half of it.
I have to say I had a fabulous day. I am the senior housekeeper here at Lupin now. I thought I had some fun and some fun jobs before, but they weren't even the half of it compared to my job here at Lupin. Like, I get into the bedspreads now. I get to do my meditation on how to make the bed. There was this bedspread that I put on, and if you put the pillows, you tuck it over so that it makes kind of a crease, but this bedspread was too short. So if I did that, then it came up at the other end. So I went back and I sought another bedspread that would be long enough to make it look just right. Not only that, I brought the iron in because I was told you have to put the sheet. This is fascinating, right? I mean, we're all fascinated with this subject. I trust you all are as fascinated as I am to this amazing job. I brought the iron in. But I ironed the sheet where it folds over the blanket. Is that kind of silly?
Yes, but that's not the half of it. The other half of it is that people are starting to see what a difference you are making here at Lupin. Somebody told me today that there were windows in the men's bathroom that for the longest time had never been cleaned because they were up really high. And you got on a ladder and cleaned them. And this man went in there and saw these windows for the first time clean. And he was so happy. And he told me today how beautiful it was. And he just loved it. We don't always know how we're going to impact the world in which we live. Sometimes it's cleaning a window so people can see out and sunlight can come through. It's so meaningful, and we give credence to certain things that we do, and we don't give it to the other half of the things we do.
And that's not the half of it.
So I congratulate you on taking your Zen into what you're doing. It's a Zen experience for you, and it's a marvelous experience for everybody else.
I don't know what a Zen experience is, quite frankly, but it really is. I'm assuming it's like what I'm having, which is just abiding in the present. In between cleaning different places, I get in a golf cart. You know what that satisfies within me? The 6-year-old in me is driving the golf cart. And he is so happy to be driving the golf cart up and down the hills here. It's so great. And then, of course, this is an advantage to living here, is I get to do the housekeeping naked. What that allows is that my body and the atmosphere are in continual direct contact with each other. And my, isn't that fine?
Yeah, and that's only the half of it.
That's the other half. Regarding the other half, I'd like to ask Professor Umbridge to come on in. What's your take on the other half, or what's your half take on never mind. Go ahead, Professor. What do you got?
Oh, good evening. I'm always delighted to be here. I generally try to bring all of myself, but sometimes the other half just doesn't want to attend. It has other things to do.
But professor.
Usually regarding some need or demand made by the body. But I drag it along, the other half, and with its attachment to the body, so I can be here and have these kinds of conversations. So many people are not dissatisfied enough, satisfied with the little that they have. If they'd known what they think is the whole of it that they're having is not even the half of it, it would draw them into quarters of themselves and gradually into eighths and in sixteenths, and so they would be little pieces of themselves so far away from the whole of themselves that the half of themselves would be like they'd arrived. But then they wouldn't realize in that state that, well, that's only the half of it.
Professor, I think you've been hanging around Errol too long.
I beg your pardon? I hang around Errol enough.
But I think it's interesting that you said, and that's not the half of it. And I'm saying, and that's only the half of it. So if this is only the half of it, and that's not half of it. So there's another half. There's still other halves. But the half that we've got is only it. It's only the half.
Okay.
Do you get what I'm saying?
What that brings to mind, and you tell me if this is part of what you were thinking, is when conception takes place, arguably one of the most profound, amazing moments that ever happens on life is when conception takes place. It's a great thing. And the bonus is they made it feel so good. But let's not talk about that part right now. Let's talk about what happens when these cells, they have come apart, this double helix, which is the chromosome wrapped around itself, and it comes unwrapped so that its little fingers or these little bases and different molecules are like unconnected, and they're longing to be connected. So that sperm carrying this little disconnected cell goes out there, and it is so looking to meet with another so it can become whole again. What fascinates me is that that's how it's done in life, in biology. Think of all the other ways it could have been done.
I always think of the biological reality as a microcosm
yes.
to everything else, all other life on the planet, the social life on the planet, all the different ways that we interact. I'll start in those cells and the way they come together. And the perfect way they come together is what's being asked of us, to come into that union to create life anew in every relationship we have.
Well, that's what's so amazing about these things. They're just totally twisted around each other. There's just a whole lot of twisting going on.
We got a whole lot of twisting going on. Come on.
That would be Jerry Lee Lewis, of course. I couldn't resist that. And I hope now forever in your mind, when you hear that song, you will immediately default to the image of the cells wrapped up, all those little chromosomes in your body right now. They're all twisted around each other. And so if you ever start to feel like, why am I so uptight? Well, you're all twisted up.
Oh, I hope that's not the truth, because if that's still going on, you can also be peaceful around
it. Not only is it not the truth, it's not even the half of it.
And I thought it was only the half of it.
No, it's not. Barney, oh, hi, come on in. Barney, what do you got tonight? Well, what I got is so much that no matter how much I'm going to share with you tonight, I can guarantee that it's not the half of it. There is going to be more. But the thing I wanted to observe, the thing that bothers me is the amount of contentiousness that's going on out there in the world that we live in. And that isn't even the half of it, because more than the contentiousness, they got people beating up on each other. It's just something here. And I sit there some days and I ask myself, well, what is my response to all of that, to the suffering? I don't know from the half of it what's going on out there. Just today, I was walking around. It was beautiful. I was in nature. And we have nature just in a little area in our apartment building where the light, if you come at 1:07 p.m., the light shafts down into the little 4x4 courtyard between the different sides of the building where I live. You don't know what I'm talking about.
I do. I understand totally. I have lived in New York for a long time
right.
of my life.
So the light is very precious. So at 1:09, of course, it won't stay 1:09. See?
You said 1:07.
That's what I mean. It doesn't stay there because the next day it's going to be later.
That's true.
And so you got to stay on your toes here.
That's only the half of it.
Really? What would be the other half, Rochelle, of that particular equation?
Well, that light is such an amazing thing that you keep it with you long after it's gone.
Really now?
Well,
yeah.
You're talking about it right now, and you're not seeing it at all.
That's right. I am looking out there at the trees here, and it's very nice. But what I like about the light is that whenever I experience the light, it feels like the whole light is bathing me. But then, I don't know, maybe the amount of light that I'm getting is only half of it. What if the other half of the light would be like so bright that it's beyond my capacity? And yet it is, in fact, striking me now and vibrating with all them twisted up chromosomes that you were talking about. Well, Barney, that's very likely. I think of you as someone who's getting majorly untwisted. Well, that's not the half of it here. I'm getting not only untwisted, I'm getting uncircumnavigated. And not many people can say that. I couldn't say it, actually. Uncircumnavigated. Uh-huh. I see, never mind, I won't go there. Thank you, Barney. You helped us see the other half of it a little bit, don't you think?
When Barney was talking, this idea came to me, talking about cells and everything. And the truth is that you don't have like half of cells and the other half of other cells. People do a DNA on somebody, they can take it out of a tiny little part of you. And it's the same DNA that runs through your entire being. If it's in a half of you, the other half is the same thing, only it might look different.
Well, it has a different job, doesn't it?
It might have a different job, but in a sense, it really is two parts of a whole.
Some people, including myself, perceive and insist that the phenomenal world is an illusion. But the other side of me, the other half, that's not usually about, looks at the situation and goes, but what a incredibly complicated and organized illusion. And when you think about how these body parts are functioning in this gigantic complex system, which is a part of this other infinitely variable systems. I'm aghast.
I was listening to the radio today and I heard that this particular group of scientists had discovered a way to see planets more clearly. I didn't hear the whole thing, so I didn't get exactly how. But the result of seeing them more clearly is they would be able to diagnose which of those planets were life-bearing. He's talked about billions.
And which of them would have a swimming pool? Because they could just narrow down. They could see that turquoise green water and go, I'm going to that part of the planet. They got a pool. Because you got to figure it's going to be hot on some of these planets.
Or cooler, since we have no way of knowing.
They do have ways of knowing whether it's hot or cold. They can tell by the vibrational waves that are given off. Listener, have you been having vibrational waves that are just pulsing out of your system? Are people around you affected by these pulsing waves?
Yes.
Emanating from your center? Are you noticing the pulsing waves that are emanating from other people's center? How are they overlapping and interfacing? This is your question for tonight.
That's the question? That's it? That's only the half of it.
Well, there's that half, but you got to do the first half before you do the second half. Which
what
reminds
if you did
me,
the second half first?
Okay, here's a question for you. You and I in our relationship, one of us tends to see things half empty and the other tends to see things half full.
And that changes.
For $100, which one is which? Can you guess? I'm just going to give the listener a chance to guess. And while they're guessing, I want to play this piece of music because it's something that you want to think about when you're anticipating half versus wholeness. Maybe life isn't gone well for you. Anyway, here we go.
I've seen it go around, get bad news, thinking that you found a darker shade of blue. Looking for the light and it's a long way back. You know without a fight you're gonna fade to black. Never was a man that ever felt this way. One who couldn't stand to live another day. Hard times seem to have the corner on you, but you can rise from the ashes too. When I'm on my knees and everything has gotten me beat, and even I believe I'm never gonna find my feet. Two ways you can go. Is another man halfway down? Now you may decide it's a losing game. Even in your stride, you're gonna call it lame. Getting one leg up when it's said and done is the hardest part, no matter how. Two ways you know you can't.
Halfway Up by Cliff Black. Boy, that was really a half full versus half empty kind of song, wasn't it?
I was hearing that. I was thinking, we can speak of half as part of the whole, but what if any half is itself the whole?
Well, it would have to be.
It would have to be.
That's why I can always say there's another half.
Or I could say that's only the half of it.
The whole that you think you have is not even half as much as the whole that you could have if you had half again as more than you had already.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, you heard it here, folks. This is Naked Truth, Inside Out. I shifted the order of them.
You see, there's a half and a whole. You can shift the order, but you don't change anything.
That's right. It's the same little thing that we're bringing forth here. And that has to do with looking more thoroughly and with more humor at some of the assumptions we have and the things we take for granted. For example, how we regard half versus whole, how we regard ourselves as part of the yin-yang, which I wear around my neck every single day to remind me there's these two facets that form the whole, and they're the yin and the yang, and there's balance. Somehow the universe seems to really favor balance.
It does, otherwise you fall off.
For the longest time, they thought that you could fall off. Remember?
I don't remember because I wasn't around. I do this balancing exercise every morning because it's good to practice balancing. As you get older, it's harder to balance. That's what I'm told anyway. So I'm very aware that when I lift one leg up, 1 foot off the ground, and I'm moving in a certain way with only 1 foot, you know, my body's moving of course, I'm not moving my leg. It's on the ground. I have to get very centered in order to stay balanced. And the minute, like, my mind will go someplace else, my mind moves off center, I almost fall. And I have to bring my mind back to center in order to stay balanced. I find that fascinating, and it happens every morning.
Is there a funny way that you do that?
Well, you might think it's funny by watching me. I find it more profound. You can find funny and profundity.
What I hear you saying is you're going from cockeyed to balanced.
Cockeyed? Okay.
I don't know.
Funny word, cockeyed.
Father O'Malley, what half are you looking at these days? Oh, sure, it is good to be here and be able to speak of a half that I'm aware of. I know that it's not the half of it and that there's much more to be aware of. But some of the folks, they come up to me and they ask me, their father, what's the more that's beyond what I see here that I don't seem to be able to recognize while I'm being caught up in this whole world that's happening to me with all its calls to pleasure and pain? I say, well, the other half, quite frankly, darling, is really more like a third. People don't know that, so they're always looking for the half that they're looking for. They never find it because it's only a third. No, it sounds silly there, darling, but listen to me out here. So there's the one, and then there's the two, and then there's the three. And so any one of those there is a third. What that means is that you've got the you over here, and then you've got the other you over there. And when you put the two together, there's a third you. And that's the two of them together. So when they say that's not the third of it, they're talking about the other two-thirds, which is the you and the you and the you and you yourself and the you and that you become when you're the whole you, which is the two of you becoming one you.
Father O'Malley, when I was working on a kibbutz in Israel, and I was working folding laundry. And I had not known that up to this point, to fold a towel in thirds. Because what you get is a much more equal-looking towel. You don't have like one side of the towel as a fold and the other side doesn't, but you have two folds, makes a perfect whole.
Oh, Now you're talking housekeeping stuff. I'm getting like, turned on.
Errol is drooling. We can't have Errol drool because he makes a mess out of all the machinery.
Well, I did the laundry today and I went to hang the sheets. And I thought, I'm hanging sheets out in the sun. How many millions of people have had this experience of hanging things on a line? Except we didn't have any clothespins. And so the fitted sheets collapsed toward the middle. These are things you think about when you're the senior housekeeper at Lupin Lodge, is how to get those sheets to stay wide enough so that they dry.
You don't have clothespins?
No. That seemed kind of silly to me, and I thought, next time I'm at the dollar store.
I'm sure there must be clothespins. You just don't know where they are.
No, there aren't.
There really aren't?
No, there really aren't. And that's why we are who we are and we do what we do, because we don't have clothespins.
I can blame it all on clothespins whenever I make a faux pas. I don't have clothespins. That explains everything.
In addition to that, people need to know whatever's going on, it's not over by half. Not over by half. That was Nora Shelley. And it was a beautiful little song. And the song continues, if I may. The birds are all singing, the screaming of youth, and here I am holding, keeping room, just a place you can lay when you're older. But it's not over by half. There's a gold in your eyes looming out through the black, and you're still standing, and your hand on your lap. No, it's not over, not over by half.
That's a song of longing.
Well, there is longing. When I think of longing, have you all heard of Meister Eckhart? He was the predecessor of the guy Caesar invented the Caesar salad.
What?
Huh? Where did that come from? Well, this is Professor Schnitzel. What you said there, I was very concerned about you, what came out of your mouth, because it was so like crazy. What does one have to do with the other? But I know that you know that that's not the half of it. We've been watching your mind, and it's so crazy. It goes off into these tangents, and who can follow you there on the tangents? And we know as far as you're going, and even though we can't see where you're ending up, we know that's not even the half of it. That's why we worry about you. But it's okay. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad, Rochelle, to be a part of this conversation.
It's much more heartening that it's not the half of it, because that means that there's some possibility that it'll get better.
And that's what we are hoping for, and that's why it's a little bit of something that says you can't wait until the other half comes, but then you don't know what the other half's going to be like. It might not be as good as the half you have, which is why people's minds stay closed, because if they open their minds, even though it's not so good where they are, it may be better than it was good. That would be the other half of it, should it decide to show up when you let go of your control over what you think is going to happen. Yeah?
I think what happens is that people, if life is not good, they're afraid it'll get worse.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And if it's going to get worse. And yet there are a lot of people. One might ask, is this a self-fulfilling prophecy? I had a self-fulfilling prophecy earlier today. I fulfilled the prophecy that I would be going to the bathroom numerous times. And I did. And so I've had practice all day long. And
Professor Schnitzel, you've been hanging around with Errol too long, too.
I have to admit, it rubs off a little bit on me sometimes, but I try to wash it off right after it hits me. But sometimes I have to shout, and so I shout it off, and I shouting is like, Errol, get off with that stuff of your crazy mind. I shout it out, but it still sticks.
Thank you, Professor Schnitzel.
No problem. The thing you said about the cell, by the way, I'll say one more thing about it. These two parts that come together and the splitting up of the twisting chromosome. That's a very good dance number, by the way. I almost got up off my seat and danced to it for a while there. But these chromosomes, it's very good when they come back together, but I guarantee you when they come back together, they're going to be in the new relationship. And that's the faith that all these cells have when they go swimming to find each other inside the womb.
That's one way of looking at it.
Yeah, that's only the half of it.
I was listening to something the other day when they said, well, do you think that it was a conscious decision to do X, Y, and Z on the part of a particular mammal? When I was talking about there's an instinct, which is not about thought. It's not about thinking it through. It's an instinct, like to be aware that there's danger there. You're not thinking like, oh, I shouldn't go here because there's a big mountain lion and I'm a deer. But the deer is going on instinct, not where it's safe and where it's dangerous, where we think it through.
You're talking about a gut feeling?
People have gut feelings also that goes past the mind or a thinking process, let's put it that way, and feel something is coming or something is wrong or that's not the right thing to do. And that's only half of it.
Maybe the other half is that's what the story of the tortoise and the hare was all about. Remember the hare? It could go so fast, but it was like, what was it doing? It was like busy being distracted and not getting over the end. And the tortoise just kind of came along and won the race, which is a good thing. There were 8-5 odds, and I had that, like $100 on the tortoise because I had a gut feeling that the tortoise, gutsy that he is, would win.
We are so addicted to speed in our society that if you see somebody open a computer and it's not moving instantly to where they want it to go, you can see the frustration building up in them. This is so slow. It's not getting there. in terms of what we used to be, can you think of the people who would sit and copy manuscripts for hours and hours? And now we do it in a matter of minutes. We put in a copy machine, poof, you copied 50 pages. And we don't think that's fast enough.
Do you know why?
Because that's not the half of it.
The other half is that they were able to compress all those monks who were scribes into tiny little guys who are now working inside. That is the most ridiculous image.
He sure is.
This Rabbi Greenberg, and I think of not having the half of it. I think of like the first half of my life, but you don't know which is the first half of your life because you don't know when it's over. So you could be saying to yourself when you're 18, this is the first half. That's even the half of it. But you don't know if it, until you get there. Then you can look back on it, and you still don't know if it was the first half because you haven't finished the other half. This is something I feel it's good for measuring practice.
God, everybody's silly tonight.
I would like to say about the wholeness that what is keep in mind is the wholeness is about, well, I love that phrase where it said, how did you say it, Earl, the bridging the gap? Wherever there's a fracture in a system, to do your best to make it whole. That seems to be the task. As I recall, he said, that's the only requirement. So that says to me that the way we should spend our life is coming upon things that are broken. We'll have to look for them. They're everywhere. Or things that could work better, there's everywhere, so that the whole functions more in harmony with itself and likes its other parts. Because right now, for example, in the human community, there are a lot of these people parts that don't like the other parts. This, to me, is a break in the wholeness. So the challenge is, how can we begin? How can we heal this dichotomy that is hostility and resentment and hate and fear of everyone? The number one priority, and I know, it's not even the half of it.
What you said struck a chord in me. I've been reading a lot of historical fiction that took place in like 1500s, 1400s, 1100s, where people were not doing very much different than we are doing today in terms of jostling for power, meaning subjugating somebody to make themselves feel powerful, subjugating huge amounts of people to really feel more powerful. We've only a few hundred thousand years. It's not very much in terms of the timeline of a planet moving. So the little tiny bit of change that we see is more than half of it. And yet there are people still who are barbaric, let's put it that way, who feel that the only way to be powerful is to subjugate somebody else or to destroy somebody else. And I think that is a consciousness that is on the way out, but it's very present nevertheless.
This Senator Beauregard, and I just had to jump in here because I knew there was a half to it that was needing to be said. The other half, actually the great majority of it was folks back then and there, 19th century as you was talking about, most of them was all they could do to survive, and they didn't survive very well, and they didn't survive very long. 50% of the infant rate, they died before they got 1 year old. It was hard back then. I mean, now we take it for granted. This is a very special time in that we have enough leisure and comfort to reflect on our experience. And I would hope that we would do some serious reflecting and know that whatever we've come up with so far, not only is it not the half of it, it's not even a quarter or an eighth of it compared to what we need to realize in order to right this wrongness that is the brokenness that is our culture and our civilization right now. It's on the brink of some major changes. In my humble opinion,
unless we gather ourselves to ourselves and learn how to communicate in such a way that we get closer rather than farther away from each other, we're going to be in a heap of trouble. And that's not the half of it.
Senator, the very fact that you can reflect on that, that you can say, oh, this is what we have to do, is a move in the right direction. We're thinking about these things. We're thinking about how important it is to communicate on a level which creates wholeness instead of separation. The fact that we can think those thoughts at this point is definitely a movement. And that's only the half of it.
So we can look forward to the other half. But there's this whole world that's going on. Don't you think, Errol, now some way we could celebrate the wholeness of all? We talked a lot about the halfness, but what you got there? Well, as a matter of fact, I've got a song that I want to play now. It's by Mindy Gledhill.
I'm going to walk 100 miles. I'm going to whistle all the while. If that's what it takes to make me smile, I'm going to walk 100 miles. I'm going to run right up this hill. Summer sky or winter chill. If I gotta take a break, I will. But I'm gonna run right up this hill. I wanna hold the whole wide world right here in my open hands. And maybe I'm just a little girl with great big brings. I'm gonna live a crazy dream. I wanna hold the whole wide world right here in my open hands. And maybe I'm just a little girl with great big plans. I wanna hold the whole wide world right here in my open hands. And maybe I'm just a little girl with great big plans.
Thank you, Mindy Gledhill.
We have somebody who lives right here in Lupin with the name Gledhill. I've never heard that name before.
It's the Gledhill clan. This is Father O'Malley. I used to know the Gledhill clan, and half of the clan were pretty trustworthy, good folk, and the other half was not so much the way the first half was. That was only the half of it, and until you got to know the whole Gledhill clan there. You never really had the whole picture. But some people are satisfied with half the picture, and then they can imagine the other half, and that kind of frees them up. Thanks, Father O'Malley. And thank you all tonight. This is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. Our sponsors are Go Raw. Go to Go Raw at Safeway, Trader Joe's, Costco, Organic, online, goraw.com. They've
coming out with the new products this spring. We're grateful to them. And our other sponsor is
Universe Spirit, which is teaching us so much about climate stabilization, what part we play in it, and how we can go about making a difference.
Go to their website, Job One for Humanity. I was actually talking to the head of Universe Spirit, Job One, the man who's leading this project, Lawrence, and he had mentioned that as people are confronting the reality of this climate change, they're having troubles, is what he says, going through Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's 5 stages of grief, which you may recall. Denial is the first stage, then there's anger, and then there's depression, bargaining, finally acceptance. Not necessarily in that specific tight order, but that's the general thing. Once we realize the fullness of this impending thing, but I think it's good to realize that's just not the half of it. It's helpful to put it in context, because the other half of it, at least another half, is that we're all facing impending dissolution. We're all facing guaranteed dissolution. While we need to do whatever we can to make the best happen, to keep ourselves healthy, at the same time, no matter what, we're all going to die. And that's not even the half of it.
Well, I'm very aware that whenever something happens, we have a choice. We have a choice on how to deal with it. We either deal with it out of fear, or we deal with it out of love. Out of love means we bring these two halves of ourselves together and create a wholeness. Out of that wholeness, which is what I consider love, when we are whole, we deal with things in very different ways. We get very creative, and if nothing else, we humans are creative. And when we're confronted, literally confronted, not imaginatively confronted, even though there's lots of facts that tell us things, it doesn't feel like a confrontation until we're right up against it. We all know this. I've said it before. I have a great deal of faith in human creativity. Just because we don't see something, we don't see how we could possibly get out of a situation, doesn't mean we can't get out of a situation. We just don't know what that is at the moment that we're in it. But it shows up somehow, mysteriously. If we enter into that creative spirit, which is within us all, and we have the ability to actually do something.
Sometimes having a simple faith is really valuable, really useful, to know that someone, whether you think of it as evolution or a loving father, we're being held in a beautiful way.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world. He's got the little bitty baby in his hands. He's got the little bitty baby in his hands. He's got the little bitty baby in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother. In his hands, he's got you and me, sister. In his hands, he's got you and me, brother. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole wide world. In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world.
Thank you, Tanya Tucker, for reminding us that we are held. And that is the grounding of my faith, that we are held and embraced by a vitalizing, alive, compassionate, loving, totally loyal presence. And that's not even the half of it. We are Inside Out. We're on weekly. You can catch us Tuesday nights, 7 p.m., or Sunday mornings at 8 a.m., where you can hear the new improved edited version of our show. And what do we need to remember, Rochelle?
We need to remember that resistance is what we add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
And that's only half of it.